to God, meaning they get their energy at night from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. For you and I, what do we learn in here? If we get up at night, we will get so much energy, the true guidance, that during the day, no matter how hard or heavy the day is, you and I will get the energy to fight through it, to go through the problems of the daily life, and to feel secure in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why, and we need to really make dua that this Ramadan, because Ramadan, getting up at night is easy. You know why? Because everybody's doing it, and this is the month of Ramadan, shaitan is chained. So what do? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that month of Ramadan is about to end, but I want to continue this habit of mine to getting up in the Hajj time and be with you, only me and you. It is called alone time. It is called quality time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any distractions. And there are beautiful du'a that we learn from hadith of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you go to the next slide, you will see the du'a. It was narrated that Ubadah bin As-Samit said, that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever wakes up in the morning and says upon waking, what it means is by whenever you get up early in the morning, like late hours of the Hajj time, that's the time, the minute your eyes open up, and you say this dua by meaning it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept whatever you're about to do. What is the dua? La ilaha illallahu. وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. And once you say that, and then you can say Rabbi Filli, meaning, oh Allah, forgive me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your sin, forgive everything, and he will be forgiven. Waleed said, oh, or he said, then if supplicated, it will be answered for him. Then if he stood up and performed ablution and then performed prayer, his prayer would be accepted. What do we learn in here? It is in Sunan Ibn Majah. 3878, meaning, this is just the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As soon as your eyes open up, if you say it, that, oh Allah, there is no deity except you. You are one and only, and I do not associate any partners with you, and you are the Malik, and for you is all the praise, and you are capable upon everything. You have every qudra to do anything. And then you praise Allah by saying Subhanallah. And then you praise Allah by saying Alhamdulillah. And then you praise Allah again by saying La ilaha illallah. And then you praise Allah again by saying Allahu Akbar. And then you say, oh Allah, I don't have any quwwa, or I don't have any ability except for what you have given me, by saying La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah il-aliyul azim, meaning you are the greatest. If you admit all this from your heart, and then you say, oh Allah, forgive me. Allah will forgive anything and everything. Can you imagine how powerful this dua is? And this dua can be said at the Hajj time. Imagine the heart that is attached to Allah at the time, what the benefit will be. And then whatever you do after that, if you feel like getting up, do the wudu and do the Hajj prayer, imagine that prayer is accepted. Isn't that beautiful? Let's make dua that does not make it possible for us to really bring this dua in our practice in the Hajj time. And now, if you go to the next slide, you see connection between Juz 20 and Juz 21 themes. In Juz 20, we learn about raising the kids, right? Become like Umme Musa. Raising kids as leaders of the Ummah requires self-improvement. Do you agree with that? And it also requires higher connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you agree with that? Because if you don't have this higher connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you don't have desire to self-improve, do you think you can be like Umme Musa? No, it's going to be very hard. This is why we need to really develop the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by getting up in the late hours of night and present ourselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nobody else. Umme Musa was inspired, right? Well, this is what we learned yesterday, that she was given the inspiration to put your baby away from her. You and I can be inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we give undivided attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during quiet hours. During daytime, no matter how much you try, but you cannot concentrate that much. This is why it is extremely important if we truly want to raise the ummah, that is ummah al-wasat, and if we truly want to ask the dua that waja'alna lil-muttaqina imama, then we need to start from ourselves. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible. Now, today's juz. If you go to the next slide, in today's juz, there will be four surahs. Number one, the connection, continuation of the surah Al-Ankabut, which we started yesterday. And surah Ar-Rum will come. In that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give a news of the future that came true. And then surah Luqman, this person, Luqman, was not even a prophet, but he is mentioned by his name. We will learn why. And then surah As-Sajda, the Sajda, surah Sajda has a beautiful significance. We will learn then. And surah Al-Ahzab, amazing surah about the battle of the trench and the wives of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, some main points that we will learn in Juz 21, they are, make our salah come to life. This is the first ayah of today's juz we will learn. And recitation of the Quran in Arabic, is it important or not? We will learn that today. And effects of hijrah in our lives, how beneficial it is. And then how far is qiyamah for you and I? This is what we're going to learn today. And we will learn the role of ourselves as wives. A wife is a source of tranquility for their spouses, and so the vice versa. But if you are tranquility for them, it's going to reciprocate the effect, and they will be tranquility for you. So also we will learn how to raise kids. We will learn the importance of it, and of course the sequence of it. What should we be teaching our kids, and what is the sequence of tarbiyah that we can take some steps, inshallah. And then what else we will learn? Two opposite groups. Who will be towards Jannah, one of the group, and the other one will be towards Jahannam. And we will have to decide which group do we want to belong. And then, of course, we will learn that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our best model and best role model, and his uswatul hasana is the best one. He was the best of the man in characters and best of the man in everything. With that mindset, that loving Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's begin today's ayahs. From ayah number 45 to 51, we will learn why our salahs are not aligned. Let's go to the ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أتل ما أوحي إليك من الكتاب وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. What do we learn in this ayah? Recite, O Prophet, what has been revealed to you of the book and establish prayer. Indeed, prayer prohibits immorality and wrongdoing, and the remembrance of Allah is greater, and Allah knows that which we do. What do we learn in this ayah? Such a beautiful ayah. Two very important things we learn here. Number one, the importance of recitation of Quran. Sometimes people get confused. People are given this dual information. One group of Muslims say that you should only recite Quran in Arabic, and there is no need to understand. Then there's another group of Muslims, they say you should only do tafsir of Quran with understanding, and there is no purpose of reciting. And then there is another group of Muslims who say, no, you need to take the balanced approach. You need to do the recitation of the Quran itself, and then you should understand it with the meaning. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us an answer. Utlu ma uhiya. This word utlu tells us the answer, meaning you have to recite. This word comes from what? Tilawa. Tala yatlu tilwan. Tilwan means words to come right after the other. Meaning, the recitation is mandatory part of being a Muslim. We have to recite Quran in Arabic. But the way it's supposed to be reciting is when you recite Arabic word, the meaning should be following by it, meaning you should be able to understand it word to word what Allah SWT is saying, even if your language is not Arabic, even if you belong to some other languages, you should be able to understand Quran in your own language, and this is what tilawa is. This is why when Sahaba used to recite, people used to cry, and they themselves used to cry. Once Abu Bakr As-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was doing tilawa in his own home, and the women and children gathered around him, and they said, and they were mesmerized. Do you know why there was so much effect on his voice? Because whatever he was reciting, he knew what he was reciting. Today, when we see people, they are on either extreme. Recite only, no meanings. Meaning only, no recitation. We need to find the balance in life. We need to make the Aad Allah SWT, Allah SWT, make this Quran possible for me, so that when I recite, number one, recite it beautifully. Number two, recite it so that I am understanding the Arabic as if it is in my own language. And number three, when I recite, it affects my heart and the hearts of the listeners who are listening to it. Imagine, if you have all these three qualities, wouldn't it be amazing? Why do you think when Prophet ﷺ used to recite Quran, people, even though they were disbelievers, they would be affected by it? Why do you think that Umar radiallahu anhu, when he was non-Muslim and he has a sword in his hand, when he heard the recitation, his heart was affected by it? Why do you think when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited Surah An-Najm in Kaaba in front of Mushrikeen in Makkah, even though they were all disbelievers at the time, but when they heard Surah An-Najm, they went into sujood? Why do you think that today even people say it is melodious, it is beautiful, it affects the heart in a different way, it calms the heart? You know why? Because Arabic Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we can take this time and make some intentions for ourselves. And number one, oh Allah, I want to beautify my tajweed. I want to recite this Quran with beautiful recitation. Number two, oh Allah, I want to memorize word-to-word translation. So when I recite in Arabic or when I hear any Qari reciting, I understand what he is saying, so it can affect my heart. And number three, oh Allah, make it possible for me to understand Quran the way it's supposed to be understood. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari reported Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, a believer who recites the Quran is like an orange whose fragrance is sweet and whose taste is sweet. A believer who does not recite the Quran is like a date which has no fragrance but has sweet taste. And a hypocrite who recites the Quran is like a basil whose fragrance is sweet but whose taste is bitter. And a hypocrite who does not recite the Quran is like the colocynth, which has no fragrance and has a bitter taste. This is in Sahih Muslim, Hadith number 1743. What do we learn here? Recite Quran. It's beautiful. You know, one time there was one king who actually ordered his people to burn all the Quran because he did not like the Quran to be around. So his people, his soldiers went around the houses of the Muslims and they took away all the Qurans, and every Quran, according to his information, was burned. One day he was walking by and he heard this voice of recitation of the Quran from one of the houses. So he came back and he got mad at his soldiers that you lied to me. You said the Quran is already, all the Quran copies are burned away. Then how come I heard the recitation? You know what his soldiers said? His soldiers said, yes, you can burn the physical copies of the Quran which has been done, but Quran is in the hearts of the people, a believer. And this is why you see even a 5, 7, 8 years old, a child who can memorize the Quran and bring it in his heart. I know you and I may not have enough time to do that, but we can have at least intention, if not the whole Quran. We want to memorize some portions of the Quran, at least the just 30 we can do, at least Surah Kahf should be memorized, at least Surah Mulk should be memorized, and today we are going to learn Surah Sajda, and Surah Sajda is also a surah when Prophet ﷺ used to recite every night before going to bed. Don't you think it would be so much easier if we already know and memorize Surah Sajda? So with that mindset, inshallah, another thing we learned from this ayah is that salah is supposed to be something that stops you from immorality, fahsha wal munkar. Do you know why this is not happening in our salahs? People are doing salah, when they come out of the salah, they cheat. People do salah, and when they come out of the masjid, they actually yell, they curse. They don't stop themselves. People who do 5 times of salah, they are the one who stare at opposite gender as if it's their right to do that. People who do salah, they are doing all kinds of filth. And you see today the picture of, generally speaking, a Muslim family. This is how they're supposed to be, they appear to be. They do salah, but they're not able to stop from any sin. Do you know why? Why their salah is not stopping them from fahash and munkar? Because it is said in Quran. It has to be true. There are many hadith about that too. So why is that? Do you know why? Because our salahs are not alive. They're like a dead beat. They're there just as a ritual for the physical body. It's like going to the exercise room and doing the exercise in the gym. People do it, right? So this is how we take our salah. Salah is dead. We don't really consider salah as a establishment of the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why it says aqimus salah. It doesn't say to read salah. It doesn't say to just go ahead and get it over with. Today, we really need to liven our salah. You know how can we do that? Some of the pointers is, number one, know why you do salah. Number two, have desire to do salah. Number three, think of salah as your meeting appointment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 5 times a day. Number four, think of the salah that you are actually rehearsing on for the day of judgment and what you're going to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the next point is, when you say salah, you consider yourself that you are in a different zone, different time zone, different, actually you're free from time and space while doing salah. Because there was a sahabi and he had one of the arrow got into him in one of the battles. And it was very painful for him to remove the arrow. So he said, you know what, let me just do my salah. Once I'm in salah, you can take my arrow out and it's possible I may not feel that much pain then. So he started salah. And while he was performing salah, and he had an amazing salah with a khushu and khudu in it, once he was done with salah, he asked people, how come you didn't remove the arrow when I was praying? They said, oh, it was done in the first rakah. You didn't feel it? He said, no. And this is called salah. You know why? Because today, people, when we do salah, our salah is like, oh, let's do salah because we forgot something and let me remember. And during salah, people plan their businesses. During salah, people plan what to do with their next errand they need to run. And during salah, they plan if they are forgetting anything, they can remember. The problem is, we don't know that we are actually standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you imagine? The same Allah that the one who created this huge universe out there. Look at the sky. And you have enough ability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, bi-ithnillah, that you are standing in front of the salah. If we truly liven our salah, then only then our salah will stop us from fahsh and munkar. Next point is, you should know what you're saying in salah. From now on, let's make an intention. You should know the meaning of everything you say in salah and logic behind it too. Because why should you say Allahu Akbar if you don't know why are you saying it? When you say Allahu Akbar, you're basically saying everything is behind me and now I am only there for Allah. And why do you say sujood and why? What do you say in sujood and why? And the Quran that you recite, elongate it. Pick a longer surah to recite. Why? Because if you say the same surah, the smallest surah, it's going to be monotonous. Do you eat the same food every day? No, because you said, I already had it yesterday. So why same surah and salah? Do you do the opening iftitah of the dua of salah, same one? Why? Because you don't do the same thing for everything else. You want variety in your life. You don't even want to wear the same color the next day. Yesterday I wore the black suit. Today I want to wear the yellow one. So why the same iftitah dua? So why don't you change the du'as of sujood that are authentic from the sunnah? Why do we only say the same? So these are the things, this is why. So inshallah, let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to truly liven our salah. And this could be one of the goals in this month of Ramadan. How can we liven our salah? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. And once the salah becomes alive, then they will definitely stop people from hush and munkir. And then ayah number 46, and do not argue with the people of the scripture except in a way that is best, except for those who commit injustice among them and say, we believe in that which has been revealed to us and revealed to you, and our God and your God is one, and we are Muslim in submission to him. O Allah, make us Muslim in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we have sent down to you the book that is Quran, and those to whom we previously gave the scripture believe in it, and among these people of Makkah are those who believe in it, and none reject our verses except the disbelievers. You will notice in today's juz, you will find the word Quran in the Qiyamah a lot, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing us. Quran also starts with Q, and Qiyamah also starts with Qaf, right? Q. Why? Because Quran prepares you for Qiyamah. And Qira'ah of Quran also prepares your heart to see and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is amazing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing ourselves slowly but surely, trip by trip. Have you ever wondered why Quran is so thick? Did you not wonder that Quran should be like, if it's a book of ahkam, meaning the commands, it could be very thin too? Few commands, there are only few Sharia laws, right? So the book should be done. So why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this Quran? And do you notice that the repetition of the ayahs and some of the stories over? You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, one time you have to listen to Quran, your heart may grasp one thing. And when the same ayah is repeated in some other part of the Quran, your heart may grasp some other thing. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have made this Quran for you, so you can benefit from it. This Quran is a book that can bring you to life. This Quran is a book that can bring your salah to life, and the recitation and the love of the Quran, the more you have, the more you will find your life full of happiness in this dunya and of course in the hereafter. And you did not recite before it any scripture, nor did you inscribe one with your hand, then that is otherwise the falsifiers would have had cause for doubts. Rather, it is this Quran. بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ. What do we learn here? Rather, it is this Quran is distinct verses preserved within the breast of those who have been given knowledge, and none reject our verses except the wrongdoers. Who are those who have verses in their chest? Half of the Quran, right? And you know what? When a person wants to memorize the Quran, they should have the intention of live by the Quran too, because this is also one of the extreme. People say, I'm going to make my son hafiz, and that means I don't have to really do anything anymore. That's it. Shut the book down and close it forever. This is not how it works. When Quran is memorized, this means that you have to live by it too, because the real purpose of the Quran is the guidance. Right? So if you memorize it, but if you don't know what you're saying, do you think it's going to have an effect on your heart? This is why we see people even who have the Quran in their hearts, even their hafiz, and they are doing all kinds of whatever, it's wrong. And then people say, you know what, what's the point of being in hafiz? That hafiz, I know such and such, they do the wrong business dealings. So this is why we need to understand and live by this Quran. But they say, why are not signs sent down to him from his Lord? Say, the signs are only with Allah, and I am only a clear warner. And it is not sufficient for them that we reveal to you the book that is Quran, which is recited to them. Indeed, in that is the mercy and reminder for a people who believe. Notice here, another name of the Quran is Zikra. Zikra li qawmi yu'minun. How does Quran become Zikra? Very simple. Zikra means reminder. If you open up the Quran once in blue moon, if you open up the Quran once in every Ramadan, do you think it's going to be Zikra? it's not going to be zikr for you and I. So this is why this means that this Quran needs to be opened every single day. Every single day with love. When you touch Quran, you feel good. When you look at Quran, it makes you feel good. When you open Quran, it really opens up your heart. When you start reciting, it should open up your heart and connect you mentally with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you try to understand it, it should fill your love. You will fill your heart with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what did we learn in this section? We can ask this question to ourselves. Is my tilawa worth it? Meaning, is it really beautiful? Is it really perfect? Is it really without any mistakes? Do I pronounce the word the right way? Do I have the proper tajweed? Do I say qalb to qalb or qalb to qalb? Do I say ah to ah or ha to ah? Do I say all these letters and without articulation points? If not, then it's okay. As long as you have the desire, Allah will make it easy for you. It may take 1, 2, 3 years, whatever time it may take. Don't give up. Don't feel bad. Don't think that, oh, it's not going to come on my tongue. You know, people who are reverts, if they are able to say it, even all those different races, they are able to say it, then how come you and I cannot? We can. It's just we need to give time to it. And then the next question we can ask is my salah alive? Meaning, do I feel good about my salah? When I say Allahu Akbar, do I feel this, I'm entering the zone that is special for me? And when I say Assalamu Alaikum Warahmatullah, that means that I feel very content that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me opportunity and ability to pray. Do you know when the azan happens and when a person is sitting down and he's saying answer to the azan of the mu'adhin, he calls back, he repeats the same word, except when the mu'adhin says, Hayya ala salah and Hayya ala salah, you don't say that. You don't know why. What do you say? You say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, meaning it is not up to my ability and strength that I can go for prayer. If you have this mindset, when you listen to the azan and you say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, or I don't have any ability and strength to pray except what you have given me, and then you go stand up in a prayer rug, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up your heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your salah come to life. And the next thing is, salah is not the purpose. The real reason is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah is the system that is taught to us. It is like a organized structure that is taught to us, so that we can remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Talk to non-Muslims with proofs when you talk to them. Establish salah, not read it. And this translation of the word reading is also give us this mindset that we have to read salah. So we need to change it. Start saying, we have to establish salah. Well, okay, tell your family, let's go establish connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead of saying, let's go pray. You know why? Because it's the mindset, it's the words that put these ideas in your mind. Let's go to the next paragraph, aisle number 52 to 63. Do hijrah from dislike. What do we learn in this ayah? Aisle number 52. Say, قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ شَهِيدًا. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough for you and I? Say, yes, alhamdulillah. Say, sufficient is Allah between me and you as witness. He knows what is the heavens and the earth. And they who have believed in falsehood and disbelieved in Allah, it is those who are the losers. And they urge you to hasten the punishment. And if not for the decree of the specified term, my punishment would have reached them, but it will surely come to them. Certainly, while they perceive not, they urge you to hasten the punishment, and indeed, hell will be encompassing of the disbelievers. On the day of punishment will cover them from above them and from below their feet. And it is said, haste the result of what you used to do. Think of the bed that is also fire. Think of your comforter that is also fire. And you are sandwiched in between. May Allah save us. O my servants, who have believed, indeed my earth is spacious. So worship only me. Earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it is vast. And every soul will taste death, then to us will you be returned. What do we learn? Allah's earth is big. If you are having trouble following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where you live, move out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you more space to live. Never try to restrict yourself and you're not able to follow Islam wherever you live. If you are, alhamdulillah. If not, then move out. Muslims of Makkah, they had to migrate first in Habasha. Abyssinia, and the second migration took place, and finally the third migration was Medina. Why? So they can practice their deen. What do we learn? The law of migration. We should migrate if the places are not suitable where you and I live. Every soul will taste it, and this is the final migration that we all have to do, and that is we have to migrate from this world to another. And if this mindset is clear, Allah SWT will make it easy for us to learn and live by Quran. And those who believed and done the righteous deed, we will surely assign to them a paradise, elevated chambers, beneath which river flows, wherein they abide eternally. Except is the reward, excellent is the reward of the righteous workers. What do we learn here? This is what we're going to get, you know that? If we alive in our salah, if we live by Allah's book, all those high chambers, beautiful destination is waiting, waiting for you and I to come. Do you know why? Because Allah loves His slaves who actually do amal salih. And who have been patient upon their Lord rely, meaning they do sabr in this dunya. And the second thing is mentioned here is that they do yatawakkalun, they rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, bestow these two qualities upon us. Say Ameen. And how many a preachers carries not into own provision, Allah provides for it and for you. Notice here, do not worry about provision too much. If your husband doesn't have a job, it's okay, because Allah is the provider, not your husband's job. And He is the hearing and the knowing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. He will make the ways out for your provision. And if you ask them, who created the heavens and the earth and subjected the sun and the moon, they would surely say Allah. Then how are they deluded? Allah extends provision. Notice here, Allah says, Allah yabsutu rizqa liman yasha'u min ibadihi wa yaqdiru lahu inna Allaha bikulli shay'in aleem. Allah extends provisions for whom He wills of His servants and restricts for whom, for Him. Indeed, Allah is all of the things knowing. You know why Allah SWT restricts provisions and give more to somebody and somebody less? Because Allah SWT knows if we're able to handle it not. What if Allah SWT give you and I too much? Do you think it's possible that we can get lost in this dunya? So it is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restricts the provision. Because this way people get reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I am not in control. Two people graduate from the same school. They have the same degree. They have the same marks. And they go both apply for the job from the same in the same industry at the same time of the year and the same place too. They both get the job with a different salary amount. Do you ever wonder why? Somebody is getting paid at $40,000 and the other one is getting paid at $60,000. Same job. Why? Because this is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who decides. So, and if you ask them, who sends down rain from the sky and gives life thereby to the earth after its lifelessness, they would surely say, Allah. Say praise to Allah. But most of them do not reason. What did we learn in this paragraph? Today we can leave sins on choice. Tomorrow it will be too late. Do hijrah from your bad sins and bad habits and come towards the goodness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Change the environment, change the company, change the mindset. If your friends are keeping you stay back, change them. If your company is not good enough for you to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, change them. If your mindset is stopping you, change the mindset with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the final hijrah we will be performed will be from this world to another. And sabr and tawakkul are the two tools that we should ask for. And Allah is the sole provider. We should have utmost yaqeen on it. Do as much istighfar possible, because istighfar opens up the door for provisions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides how much should we get, so never feel bad. How come this and how come that? Beautiful Jannah is waiting for you and I. What a beautiful section this was. And now, ayah number 64 to 69, the one who strives will get it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't waste anything. And this worldly life is not but diversion and amusement. وَمَا هَذِي الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَحْوٌ وَلْعِبٌ. What do we learn here? People, the believer understand this fact, and disbeliever doesn't. Munafiq doesn't. This is why they spend 99.9% of their time satisfying the needs of this dunya. And the believers who have Quran in their heart, they realize this fact. And they say, you know what, this dunya is not more than just a playroom. You know, if a child is sent to a playroom, they have these play ball area for the kids in a, you know, some restaurants or something. When the kids go there, what does he feel? Kids in a candy store. Everything is mine. And he feels excited. This is how the disbeliever and the hypocrites and the low people who have low iman and no Quran in their heart feels. This dunya is a candy store. Yeah, every candy is for me. Let's grab it. And they run for it. And indeed, the home of the hereafter, that is eternal life. If only they knew. How beautiful. May Allah make us the one who understand that the reality of this world is nothing. And we need to really have focus of the Akhirah. And then, of course, enjoy this world because this is the blessing that Allah SWT has given you. But as I said earlier, keep this dunya in your hands. Because it can come and go. People who were millionaires yesterday, just the last month, in the month of March, they were, you know, earning money, churning income in billions of dollars, monthly expenses and monthly rewards and monthly gains. Guess what? People are filing bankruptcies every single day. Even huge companies, I just learned the report of this one huge big company of the car rental company, very name brand. They just filed Chapter 11. You know why? Because time doesn't stay the same. Did they ever thought that there will be a virus in 2020 and because of that their business will go down and because of that they'll be under? Nobody plans for this thing. We really need to wake up and see the inside eye, what's going on around us. And when they board a ship, they supplicate Allah, sincere to Him in religion, that is faith and hope. But when He delivers them to the land, at once they associate others with Him. So they will deny what we have granted them and enjoy themselves, but they are going to know. May Allah tell us now, before it's too late. Hey, have they not seen that we made Makkah a safe sanctuary, while people are being taken away all around them? Then in falsehood do they believe, and in the favor of Allah they disbelieve? And who is more unjust than one who invents a lie about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or denies the truth when it has come to him? Is there not in hell a sufficient residence for the disbelievers? And those who strive for us, we will surely guide them to our ways. And indeed, Allah is with the doers of the good, al-Muhsinun. We learn here about that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who are al-Muhsinun. Who are al-Muhsinun? Muhsinun are the ones that do everything in the best way possible. And what are some of the qualities of the Muhsinun? Muhsinun do everything in the best way. And they are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is satisfied with them. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you and I Muhsin. And now, let's go to the next surah. Listen to the Surah Ar-Rum, listen to the recitation of the first four ayahs, inshallah, and then we will go to the tafsir.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. ألف لام ميم. غلبت الروم في أدنى الأرض وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون في بضع سنين لله الأمر من قبل ومن بعد ويومئذ يفرح المؤمنون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. The Byzantine have been defeated. غلبت الروم. In the nearest land, but they after their defeat will overcome. Within 3 to 9 years, to Allah belongs the command that is decreed before and after, and the day the believers will rejoice. This surah, Surah Ar-Rum, was revealed at the time when Muslims, there was a superpower, Byzantine, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this news that came true after some time. And this was very iman boosting, that Quran tells us something, the news of the future, because nobody can predict future. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this ayah, and this actually elevated the iman of the believers when this came true. So in the ayah number 1 to 10, we learn that the world is peel and akhirah is a fruit, meaning the world, the value of the world is nothing more than a peel of a fruit. Peel is supposed to be thrown away, and it is the fruit that we're supposed to eat. Think of it, this dunya, that it is a wrapping paper, and then the gift is inside, and that we will eat and taste in Jannah. The fruit, that the center of the core of the fruit, the sweetest part, is in Jannah. So, should we spend time on beautifying the peel? Or should we spend time on making the fruit that is inside sweet? The question is something that you and I can answer for ourselves. In the victory of Allah, He gives victory to whom He wills, and He is exalted in might, the merciful. It is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not fail in His promise, but most of the people do not know. What do we understand here? Do we still have some doubts about the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or do we consider that promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are real? And do they not contemplate within themselves? Allah has not created the heavens and the earth and what is between them, except in truth and for a specified term. And indeed, many of the people in the meeting with their Lord are disbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an invitation here to contemplate. What do we contemplate about? Anything and everything. Look at your own body. Just look at your fingernail. Why fingernail is such way? Why fingernail grows and your toenails grow less and hand nails grow more? Why do you think that other parts of the body doesn't grow? Why? What about your teeth? How come they don't grow? Well, how come your hair grows but your eyelashes don't? How come your hair grows but your eyebrows don't? And all these things, the body part, have so many hair, they don't grow very long. What if you have to shave it and you would be like any animal skin? Is it possible, right? How come everything knows where to stop? Then how come when it comes to human, they don't know where to stop? They don't know the limit. Do you know why? Limits are there. We just have to figure it out on our own. Hair knows, the head hair knows how long they're supposed to be grown. And the beard hair knows how long they're supposed to be grown. And the hair on your hands and your stomach and your back and your body and your neck and your legs know how much should they be grown. And this is all requires thinking. When was the last time you look at your body and you felt your skin? In some places it is harder and some places it is softer. The palm of the skin is different texture and the back of the skin of the hand is different texture. All this requires contemplation. Have they not traveled through the earth and observed how was the end of those before them? They were greater than them in power, and they plowed or excavated the earth and built it up more than they, that is the Makkans, have built it up. And their messengers came to them with clear evidence, and Allah would not ever have wronged them, but they were wronged themselves. Then the end of those who did evil was the worst consequences, because they denied the signs of Allah and used to ridicule them. What do we learn in this paragraph? That the people before the mushrikeen of Makkah, they were more advanced. They had taller buildings. And still people of Makkah, that they didn't understand and they didn't learn the lesson. They were gone before them, right? So what can we learn from this is that, check, what is my worry? This world or Akhirah? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this world is just a play and fun and only for time being. And then we have to go. So where do we spend our time? Allah does not do any zulm upon anybody. This universe is inviting us to seek Allah, know Allah, love Allah, get to know the power and ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And previous nations were powerful, stronger. Still, they perished because of overindulgence in this dunya. May Allah really, truly give us a true picture of this dunya, how much is worth it, and true picture of akhirah, how much that is worth it. And for that, we need to seek Allah's help. In the next paragraph, ayah number 11 to 20, we learn Qiyamah is near. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is truly, really preparing us. Allah says, Allah yabda'u al-khalqa thumma yu'iduhu thumma ilayhi turja'un. Allah begins creation, then He will repeat it, then to Him you will be returned. And the day, the hour appears, the criminal will be in despair. Do you know why? Because they wasted their time in this dunya. They thought we're here to live day-to-day life. They thought they were here to earn money and eat good food and sleep and wake up early in the morning, next day in the morning, and then go to work again. This is the life cycle people think that they're here for. And there will not be for them, among their alleged partners, any intercessors, and they will then be disbelievers in their partners. And the day the hour appears, that day they will become separated. Today people can spend any time with anybody, but over there they will be separated on their own. Nobody will be there. You cannot call your husband. Husband, I am stuck. Can you please send and come and change the tire for me? I am stuck here. Can you take me out? Son, can you give me a glass of water? Daughter, can you please cook for me? Mother, can you please do this, take care of this baby for me? You cannot call anybody there. So we need to really think about it, right? And as for those who have believed and done righteous deeds, they will be the garden of paradise, delighted. Question, is your heart feeling delighted when you think about Jannah? If it is, alhamdulillah. But as for those who disbelieve and deny their verses and the meeting of the hereafter, those will be brought into the punishment to remain. And so exalted is Allah, why you reach the evening and when you reach the morning. What do we learn in this ayah number 17? Do morning and evening askar. The importance of askar is so important. You know why? Because when we remember Allah in the beginning of the day and the end of the day, that means we are actually reminding herself of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salam was given the title of Khalilullah, meaning the best friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know why? Because he used to recite and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the morning hours and in the evening hours. May Allah give us tawfiq to really do askar, daily askar in the morning and in the afternoon. And ayah number 18, and to Him is due all praise throughout the heavens and the earth, and exalted is He at night and when you are at noon. And He brings the living out of dead, and brings the dead out of the living, and brings to life the earth after its lifelessness, and thus will you be brought out, meaning there is no doubt. And of His signs is that He created you from the dust, then suddenly you are a human being dispersing throughout the earth. What do we mean? Tantashirun, all the people. Think of your grandmother, and from there, your mother, and from her, you, and from you, your kids. The world is dispersing. People are going from one kid lives in this state, and the other one lives in this country, and the third one lives in the back home, and the fourth one lives somewhere else. This is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how He dispersed you and I in this world. So, what do we learn in this section? Qiyamah is real. Try to feel that Qiyamah is real. It will come suddenly. Everyone will be holding on to what they earn, meaning nobody else will be there. The hearts will be trembling. Can we take a 3-second pause and ask this question to ourselves, how my heart will be? Is it going to be safe and sound like Qalbi Saleem, or is it going to be really trembling with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If we will be fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there, then don't you think that we should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in this world? And the self-analysis question is, what will be the condition of my heart? Iman is when a person stays between hope and fear. Do I find this balance in my life? Or I get very hopeful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving? Or I get very fearful that I don't do anything? This balance is what Iman is. The complete, perfect balance of hope in Allah's mercy and fear in Allah's punishment. And then do tasbih, morning and evening askar. If you already do so, alhamdulillah. If not, there are many ways. You can download the apps. You can do it. You can play the apps and recite with that. Because these askars are basically your fortress. Then when you trap yourself in this fortress, that means you're protecting yourself against shaitan. And you stay protected and no harm will come to you, inshallah. Next paragraph, ayah number 21 to 29, we learn better half or bitter half. In this ayah, we learn what is my role as a wife? What is our role as a woman? If we are a wife of someone, then how should we do? Then in this relationship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the first relationship on the face of this earth, right? Adam alayhi salam was created. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created his mother with him? No. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created his son with him? No. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the wife with him? Do you know why? Because this relationship is beautiful. This relationship requires a lot of work and nurturing. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called this relationship ayatihi. Ayatihi. Wa min ayatihi. An khalaqa lakum min anfusihim azwajan litaskunu ilayha. Wa ja'ala baynakum mawaddatan wa rahma. So what do we learn in this ayah? This ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, an office sign is that He created for you from yourself needs, that you may find tranquility in them. Sakina. Taskino. Why? Because spouses for each other should be Sakina for each other. And you know what we see today? We see husband and wife spending time with each other very less. They spend time with their work. They spend time, when it comes to men, they're too busy in their work environment. When it comes to women, they're too busy with their kids and home. And they hardly give time to each other. And they get dressed for the world, but they don't get dressed for each other. They don't even hug each other. They don't even say, feel good and really comfortable with each other, because they're too busy. And today, subhanAllah, today is really worse. You know why? Because even the husband and wife sitting right next to each other on the sofa, they both are playing in their own cell phone. They both are scrolling down and watching their own news feed. Is that what the life's supposed to be? No. Life's supposed to be a tranquility between each other, and you're supposed to give comfort to each other. When a man comes home, a wife should be ready for him, be looking pretty, dressing up for him, so he feels comfortable and he forgets the worries of the world. And a wife, when she is with her husband, she feels so secure and safe that now I have a strong hand with me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided me. And they are both grateful for each other. And they are both thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing each other's company. Today, this thing is lacking. You know why? Because we are taught that love is before marriage. And once you get married, the love is over. It's the other way around. This is our media who's portraying this information that love is before marriage. And once you get married, you're just stuck together. So change this. If you have not loved your husband and show your affection physically, do it. If they didn't show it, you start, and then inshallah they'll reciprocate. So it is important that we feel the love for each other and renew it, rejuvenate it, give gifts to each other, talk to each other, make special meal for each other. Why? Because when you cook something special, let him know, I cooked it just for you today. Even though you're cooking anyway, just say it. It will make him feel good. And you say, you know what, he doesn't have time, he doesn't care. He does. He just doesn't know. Men don't know how to really display their emotions. It is the woman who is very good in displaying their emotions. So you display your emotions and he will reciprocate. And of his signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth and diversity of your languages. Diversity of your languages and your colors, indeed, in that are signs for those of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in ayah number 22, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created different colors, different type of people all over the world. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us something here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so powerful and He has created so much variety in this dunya, and this is how He spread people. And of His signs is your sleep by night and day, and your seek the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is there for you and I. Indeed, in that are signs for people who hear. And of His signs is that He shows you the lightning causing fear and aspiration, and He sends down rain from the sky by which He brings to life the earth after its lifelessness. Indeed, in that are signs for people who use reason. And of His signs is that the heavens and the earth stand, that is, remain by His command. Imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decide that the sky is supposed to be falling down in fragments. Do you think it's possible? Yes, it is possible, and it will happen. And then when He calls you with a single call from the earth, immediately you will come forth. on a day of judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call us, we will go to Him running. So if we can do that then, why can't we do this now in this dunya? Run towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have this countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our mind that we want to see Allah on a day of judgment. And to Him belongs whoever is in the heavens and earth, are all to Him devoutly obedient. O Allah, make us devoutly obedient too. And it is He who begins creation, then He repeats it, and that is even easier for Him. To Him belongs the highest description, that is attribute in the heavens and the earth, and He is the exalted and might and wise. This is my Allah, you know, who has created me and who has created this beautiful universe for me to live by. He presents to you an example from yourself. Do you have among those whom your right hand possesses, that is slaves, any partners in what we have provided for you, so that you are equal therein and would fear them as you fear of one another within the partnership? Thus do we detail the verses for people who use reason. And but those who wrong follow their own desires. This is the third juz we are learning about, the following the desires. Do you see the importance of listening to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's word? Because here we have been learning, people who follow the desires, they are the one who is losers. And without knowledge, then who can guide one whom Allah has sent astray? When people follow desire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let them indulge in their desire. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't guide them. And for them, there are no helpers. So what did we learn in this paragraph? The material that we are made of is a good character, meaning leave everything bad from you, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you were created from dust, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you into bones and a flesh. And imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us, right? How we're going to be. So know that it is not your body that makes you beautiful. It is your character that makes you beautiful. It is how you treat people that makes you beautiful. It is how you take care of your spouses and family that makes you beautiful, not the looks. Because looks are there today, they may not be there tomorrow, and the wrinkles will appear. So be the source of tranquility for each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and only. And marriage is more than just physical needs. It's about caring. It's about emotions. It's about love. It's about affection for each other. And be forgiving. You know why? Because if you want Him to forgive you, you should forgive Him too. If you want your spouse to forgive you, you should be able to forgive him too. And keep your tone of voice in check when you're talking to each other. Don't raise your voices with your husbands and spouses. Why? Because the minute you raise voice, you're shutting their ears down. So if you keep your voice in control, He will reciprocate. It takes effort to make this beautiful relationship work. You know why? Because imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put this husband and wife relationship this way. Because it takes efforts, right? And imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us choice to choose your mother and choose your siblings and choose your father. You know what we would be doing? We would be divorcing our mothers many times. No, I don't like this mother. I'm going to take another mother. No. This sibling, this is not me. So I'm not going to live with him. I want a new sibling, oh Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy upon us. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give us chance to choose all these other relations. Only one relationship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us choose. And Muslims, people generally are not able to keep up this relationship. Imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give you choice. So if one choice is given, once you have made the decision, stick with it. Try to make it work. And there's no way that if you are really following the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will soften up your hearts and that relationship will not improve. Illa mashallah. Right? Accept Allah wills. And keep renewing this relationship with each other. Because you know why? Because this relationship is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the next slide, you see the hadith. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari reported, the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah created Adam from a handful which He took from the whole of the earth. So the children of Adam are in accordance with the earth. Next slide, did you see this hadith? With the earth, some red, some white, and some black, some a mixture, also smooth and rough, bad and good. This is in Abu Dawud, hadith number 4693. Let's go to the next slide, ayah number 30 to 40. We learn that what is the correct deen. The true deen is the deen of Islam. Ayah number 30. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this beautiful ayah, so direct your face. فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلْدِينِ حَنِيفًا. Direct your face towards what? Towards the religion, inclining to the truth, adhere to the fitrah. Islam is a religion of fitrah. It stays on the fitrah of human being. And what is naturally what your body's instincts are, this is what Islam teaches. Islam doesn't have any rules and regulations that go against the natural instincts of the body, natural requirement of the body. It is based on fitrah. Like in some other religion, they have this thing that do not cut their beard hair. Is this according to fitrah? No, it's not. Islam says, groom your beard, trim your nails. You should not be growing them. Why? Because Islam is all about fitrah. And He created Allah upon which He has created all people. No change should there be in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the correct religion. But most of the people do not know. Adhere to it, turning in repentance to Him and fear Him. And what? Establish prayer. Establish salah. And do not be of those who associate others with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَاقُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا. And all of those who have divided their religion and become sects, every faction rejoicing in what it has. Isn't that what we see today? Every group of Muslims, they're happy in what they believe in. May Allah truly unite us together. And when adversity touches them, touches the people, they call upon their Lord, turning in repentance to Him. Then when He lets them taste mercy from Him, at once, a party of them associate others with their Lord, so that they will deny what we have granted them. Then enjoy yourself, for you are going to know. Or have we sent down to them an authority that is a proof of our scripture, and it speaks of what they have been associating with Him? And when we let the people taste mercy, they rejoice therein. But if evil afflicts them for what their hands have put forth, immediately they despair. May Allah make us thankful slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we are always thankful in any condition, whether it's goodness or whether it's hardship. Say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Do they not see that Allah extends provision for whom He wills and restricts it? Indeed, in that are signs for a people who believe. Repetition of the ayah. Do you know why? Because people get too much busy in earning and they think they have to do everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps reminding us, it is Allah who provides you, just like He provides to a bird. So, give the relative his rights, as well as the needy and the traveler. That is the best for those who desire the faith, meaning the approval of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is they who will be the successful one. Ayah number 38 gives us the criteria of success. What is it? Those people who spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever you give for interest, that is advantage to increase within the wealth of people, will not increase with Allah. But what you give in zakah, desiring the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those are the multipliers. Allah is the one who created you, then provided for you, then will cause you to die, and then they will give you life. Are there any of your partners who does anything of that? Exalted is He, and high above what they associate with Him. What do we learn in this paragraph? The only correct religion is the deen of Islam. Spend for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. And another ayah about interest in this section, we've been learning about interest. This was the first ayah that came in regards of interest. What do we learn here? There's a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, God will be justified in not allowing four persons to enter paradise or to taste His blessings. The one who drinks habitually, he will not enter Jannah. The one who takes riba, and he uses the orphan's property without any right, and he who is undutiful to its parents. So we learn the importance of riba again. And what else we learn from this paragraph? That narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger said, no child is born except on Al-Fitra, meaning Islam, and then his parents make him Jewish, Christian, or Magians. This is in Sahih Bukhari, ayah number 47, hadith number 4775. Interest is unforgivable sin. Another ayah we learn here about interest. So this is something that we really need to take it seriously. May Allah truly make us understand the seriousness of this. Ayah number 41 to 53, we learn footprints of corruption. What do we learn in this ayah? Allah SWT says, Zahar al-Fasad. Zahar al-Fasad fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat. Corruption has appeared throughout the land and the sea of the reasons of what the hands of people have earned. So He, that is Allah SWT, may let them taste part of the consequences of what they have done, that perhaps they will return to the righteous. What do we learn in this section? We learn about the footprints of corruption. As a human being, you and I have to be careful what kind of footprints are we leaving behind, what kind of gases we are leaving behind, what kind of corruption are we causing. Today, human being has caused so much corruption, and because of that corruption, we see that seawater is getting not drinkable, and we see the ozone layer is being shrinking, and we see the plastic that is filling the earth. All this is corruption. We don't consider that Allah SWT talks about all these things too. We say, oh, recycling is something the Westerners do. Allah SWT is teaching us that recycling, reduce, recycle, be smart in using your stuff. This plastic that we have, human being has created, it is causing corruption. And because of the chemical release of these chemical tin food we eat, all kinds of sicknesses are coming. It is a human who thinks that we are the one who are making the world easier and better place to live, and they are the one who is causing all this corruption. Have you ever seen the smog that comes out from the industries? All this is causing what? Corruption. We are part of this corruption. So make sure that when it comes to using like disposables, try not to use them very oftenly. Use them sparingly as it's needed, and try to use something that is biodegradable, because this is all causes of corruption. And say, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, travel through the land and observe how was the end of those before. Most of them were associators of other with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So direct your face. Notice here, how many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us this, right? فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ الْقَيِّمِ. Direct your face towards Allah, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to truly get this, because you know what, this is the only salvation. If we direct our face towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya, only then we will be directing our face in Qiyamah with very easy reckoning. You know why? Because imagine if you're prepared for something, only then you're happy. If the guests are about to come at 6 o'clock, you have given them the time, or maybe the iftar time if nowadays, then the iftar is opening around 8:30, and at 8 o'clock you go to the kitchen and you say, let me see what can I cook? Aren't you going to be panicked? So this is what people are doing. People are saying, I'll worry about it when the death comes. Aren't you going to be panicked then? So Allah SWT is saying, turn the face towards Allah SWT now in this dunya, so you can have a beautiful and comfortable end of time. Inshallah, Allah SWT give us really opportunity to do everything for the sake of Allah SWT. So direct your face, that is served toward the correct religion, before a day comes of which there is no repelling from the decree of Allah SWT. That day they will be divided. If you are finding hard in this dunya to leave what is not right, then remind yourself again, what's going to happen on the day of judgment? And this concept, inshallah, when this mindset is clear, things become easy. Whoever disbelieves upon him is the consequences of his disbelief, and whoever does righteousness, they are for themselves preparing. And that he may reward those who have believed and done righteous deeds out of his bounty, indeed he does not like the disbelievers. And of his signs is that he sends the winds as bringers of the good tidings, and to let you taste his mercy, that is rain. And so the ships may sail as he commanded, and so you may seek of his bounty, and perhaps you will be grateful. O Allah, make us the grateful servants. And we have already sent messengers before you to their people, and they came to them with clear evidences. Then we took retribution from those who committed crimes, and incumbent upon us was support of the believers. meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supports the believers and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't support any disbeliever. And ayah number 48, Allahu alladhi yursilu riyaha fatusiru sahaban, and it is Allah who sent the winds and they stir the clouds and spread them in the sky however He wills, and He makes them fragments so you see the rain emerges from within them, and when He causes it to fall upon from whom He wills and of His servants, immediately they rejoice. And although they were before it was sent down upon them before that in despair, meaning when there's a drought, people are really calling upon Allah. When the rain comes, people forget about it. And so observe the effects. Observe the effects of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how He gives life to the earth after its lifelessness. Indeed, that someone will give life to the dead, and He is over all things competent. But if we should send a bad wind and they saw their crops turned yellow, they would remain thereafter disbelievers. So indeed, you will not make the dead hear, nor will you make the deaf hear. The call when they turn their backs retreating. And you cannot guide the blind away from their error. You will only make hear those who believe in our verses. So they are Muslims in submission. What do we learn in this paragraph? We learn only those who wants to be guided, they are the one who is going to be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and feel the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be careful of not to be the one who leave behind corruption, footsteps of corruption, right? And seek bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bestow your fadl upon me. And rizq is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the next paragraph, we learn from ayah number 54 to 60, life after death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Allahu alladhi khalaqakum min ba'di. What do we learn in this ayah? We learn the stages of humans, the weakness upon weakness. Allah is the one who created you from weakness, meaning when you were a child, you were weak. Then made after weakness strength, meaning the age of strength, the teenage, the grown-up age. Then made after strength weakness again, meaning the old age. And white hair, meaning your black hair or the colored hair turns white. He created what He wills, and He is the knowing, the competent. Can anybody stop the aging process? Have you ever heard that a child who wants to stay a child, he's a child forever? Have you ever thought that the age of strength, the youth age, can stay forever? Every youth thinks that their strength is so much and they can really conquer the world. But do they stay in the youth age? Do you remember your youth age if you are older now? Do you have the white hair now? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the worth of this life. And this is what we're feeling right now when we are on this last hinges. Because now the Quran is near completion. Ramadan is near completion. Our lives are near completion also. And the day the hour appears, the criminals will swear that they remain but an hour. Thus they were deluded. Every ayah is really touching your heart that now that hour is near. It is coming. We are walking towards it and happily rejoicing in this dunya, not realizing it. Where are we headed? You know, one of the reasons why people are not feeling that when they grow older, you know, because this world makes them think, oh, you have grown 1 year older, let's celebrate. It's the other way around. We have grown 1 year older, let's feel for it. Let's prepare for the death, because every single day we're approaching death. But Shaitan has made this event of growing up, make it beautiful and enticing. People look forward to their birthdays and they think that they're happy. But it's the other way around. People should not look forward to their birthdays, because now they know they're growing old, unless you're a good believer. And you should look forward to your birthdays. You know why? Because now you're growing every year. You are growing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But those who were given knowledge and faith will say, you remain the extent of Allah's decree until the day of resurrection. And this is the day of resurrection, but you did not used to know. So that day, their excuse will not benefit those who wronged, nor will they be asked appeased. And we have certainly presented to the people in the Quran from every kind of example. But O Prophet, if you should bring them a sign, the disbelievers will surely say, you believers are but falsifiers. Thus Allah sees the heart of the those who do not know. So be patient. Indeed, the promise of Allah is true, another ayah of the Day of Judgment. And let them not disquest you who are not certain in faith. Beautiful surah just ended. May Allah truly give us the understanding of the Day of Judgment and the life after death that we need to be prepared for. Allah seals the heart, and life will not stay the same ever, and we learn the different stages of the life, and no excuses will be accepted on the day. So let's listen to the first couple of ayahs for the recitation of the next surah, and then we will start Surah Luqman, because Surah Luqman is full of the wisdom of how to raise our kids. Stay tuned. Let's listen to the recitation.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم تلك آيات الكتاب الحكيم هدى ورحمة للمحسنين الذين يقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة وهم بالآخرة هم يوقنون
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله ألف لام ميم These are the verses of the wise book. In this Surah Luqman, we're learning about this Luqman. Luqman was not even a prophet, but Allah SWT has mentioned the whole Surah in the name of Luqman. You know why? Because he was bestowed with the gift of Hikmah. And Luqman is known for his Hikmah. And he gave this instruction to his child. And Allah SWT loved it so much that he made it a part of the Quran. And this is what Hikmah does to you and I. If we ask for Hikmah, Allah SWT will bestow how to deal with the world's situation that we're in, how to raise the child, what kind of information should we be instilling in your child. And this is what we learn from him. Even though he, Luqman, from the worldly standard, he was not very pretty and he was not very rich, but he was known, well known for his words of wisdom. May Allah give us the quality like him, that we have only words of wisdom that comes out from our mouth and not the words of gossip and not the words of ill feeling and not the words of complaint. In ayah number 1 to 11, we learn about the Quran or Lahw al-Hadith. Because the Quran is the word of Allah, and Lahw al-Hadith is something that distracts you from the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the name of entertainment. Ayah number 1. These are the verses of the wise book as guidance and mercy for the doers of the good. Who are the doers of the good? Al-Muhsineen. Allah loves Muhsin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the quality and ability to become a Muhsin. What are some of the qualities? I want you to number them down. Who establish prayer and give zakah, and they of the hereafter are certain in faith. Notice here. What is the new thing here? They are certain about the faith in the Akhirah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that. Those are the ones, right guidance from their, those are on the right guidance from their Lord. And it is doable. What do we understand here? أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ Muflihun are the ones who are upon the rightly guided path. Let's make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the rightly guided path. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَحْوَ الْحَدِيثِ لِيُضِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ And of the people is he who buys the amusement of his speech to mislead people from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowledge, and who takes that is his way in ridicule, those will have humiliating punishment. When Quran was being revealed, when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to call people, there was this person called Nadhr bin Harith. Nadhr bin Harith came up with the idea that he said, you know what? People find Quran very interesting. Let me do something. He went and he actually purchased he went to the Iraq and he actually learned the stories of the old time stories like Isfandiyar and all those traditional stories. And he would come and he would sit in a way when people would go to listen to Quran, and he would stop them and he would entertain them through his stories. This Lahwal Hadith, this his action, stopped people from listening to Quran. This was back then only one person, but today we see so many descendants of Lahwal Nadhr bin Haris are doing the same. People have entertainment and industries, $1 billion they spend. Nadhr bin Haris spent some money on it, and he tried to distract people from the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but still at the end of the day, he was not able to. Today we see entertainment industry is billions of dollars, and people are busy entertaining. They hardly have time for the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are distracted with this entertainment industry so much, it includes all kinds of things. It includes all the sports, it includes all the dramas, it includes all the movies, it includes all the entertainment that people think in the name of entertainment. So what do we learn here? This Lahwal Hadith, it's something people spend money. People pay $100, $200 ticket to go and watch a concert. And when you ask them to give some money on the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they give you $10, $20. And people don't understand that the money that is spending on entertainment stuff, Lahwal Hadith, this there will be question, because it is because the Lahwal Hadith, people are not finding the book interesting and people are not coming to the Quran, because not that the Quran is not interesting, of course not, but because they don't understand and they don't have time and they stay ignorant. Obviously, if they don't listen, they're never going to know. So very important a lesson we learned here in this ayah, that we should watch if we're spending our money and time in entertaining ourselves. Because true entertainment of the believer is this Quran. You know, somebody asked this young boy, that, you know what, we're always thinking about we should be doing this and we should be doing that. I want you to tell me the answer. What is the entertainment of the believer? Do you know what the answer is? The entertainment of the believer is in your mindset. When you start enjoying your salah, that becomes entertainment for you. This is why you look forward to salah. When your mindset is into Quran, this becomes so much entertainment for you that you don't even want to look around anywhere. You get so much indulged in this Quran that you don't need to read those fiction stories. You don't need to watch some long episodes after episodes of dramas. Do you know why? Because you find them boring. You find them not unreal. You find them waste of time. You know why? When do you think this happens? When our hearts are attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the Quran really touches the hearts of the people, let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this ability that we can attach our hearts with the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when our verses are recited to him, he turns away arrogantly. Who is this? The one who's entertained himself in Lahwal Hadith. And he turns away arrogantly as if he had not heard them. As if there was in the ear deafness, meaning his ear gets very heavy. The minute the parents start playing Quran, they say, Mom, turn it off. This is what happens, because when people keep themselves busy in entertaining themselves, they don't want to hear this Quran. And you know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't let them, because they are the one who doesn't want it in the first place. So, give him tidings of a painful punishment. Indeed, those who believe and do righteous deeds, for them are the gardens of pleasure. And wherein they abide eternally, it is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is true, and he is the exalted in might and wise. He created the heavens without the pillars that you see, and has cast into the earth firmly set mountains, lest it should shift with you, and disperse therein from every creature. And we have sent down rain from the sky, and made grow therein plants of every noble kind. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created so much variety? Have you ever wondered? Think about it. Thus, this is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So show me what those other than him have created. Rather, the wrongdoers are in clear error. What did we learn in this paragraph? We learned if people don't find fun in Quran, they buy entertainment. They have to be busy. They do something. If it's not this, it is something else. And then we also learn about Muhsin. Allah SWT loves the Muhsinin. Who are the Muhsinin? Write down all these qualities. Muhsinin have these four qualities in them. They are the one who do ihsan with parents, relatives, needy, poor, and they stay away from sins. They do good. And they worship Allah with sincerity and khushu, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching them. And falah, the true success, is for believers in akhirah, right? And kitab, this book, is a guide for them. And they do salah and they give zakah. And ghafil is the opposite kind. They are the one who make fun of deen and have arrogance. And they ignore Quran and they find Quran heavy on their ears. Which category do we want to be? We can all decide and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 12-19, we learn hikmah in the tarbiyah of the kids. Beautiful section, inshallah. In this section, we learn, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِشْكُرُ لِلَّهِ وَمَنْ يَشْكُرُ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِلْنَفْسِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. Highlight this ayah number 12 for yourself, because in this ayah, what we learn, and we have certainly given Luqman wisdom. Oh Allah, give us wisdom too. And said, be grateful to Allah. What do we learn here? Wisdom comes when a person is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the more grateful we are, the more wisdom will come in. Do we want wisdom? Yes or no? If we do, then be grateful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever is grateful for the benefit of himself. Meaning, our gratitude, Allah doesn't need it. Allah doesn't need to hear alhamdulillah from us. It is we who will be benefiting. So you know how it works? It is basically attracting more goodness. The more grateful means, the more goodness comes to you. The more goodness means, the more hikmah will come to you. The more hikmah means, the more comfort will come to you. The more comfort means, the more contentment will come to you. And the more contentment means that you will be living for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's face. And mention, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Luqman said to his son, while he was instructing him, from now on, I want you to write down number the steps that Luqman alaihi wasallam taught his son what to do and what is the first thing we should be teaching. When a baby is very young, when the child tries is 3-4 years old or even younger, talk to them about oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even when they're drinking milk and they're in the mother's lap, that's when you talk about one Allah is one. So they grow up with this mindset, Allah is one. So you don't have to do too much hard work when they're grown up. So start from while they're suckling the mother's breast. That's the one, that's the time you should start teaching them. Luqman alayhi salam was talking to his son. And what did he say? Oh my son, do not associate anything with Allah. The first thing we need to teach our kids is that oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what else? Indeed, association with him is a great injustice. Tell him why, oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, we have enjoined upon man care of his for his parents. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala added this line, that care for your parents. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, parents' care comes in. And his mother carried him, increased her in weakness upon weaknesses. And his weaning is in 2 years. Meaning, let them realize it, that it's very hard for a mother that she took care of you when you were a baby and she fed you for 2 years and she felt all the weaknesses when she was carrying you around. Be grateful to me and to your parents. Allah SWT is saying, be grateful to Allah and to your parents. And to me is the final destination. But if they endeavor to make you associate with me of those who have no knowledge, do not obey them, but accompany them in this world with appropriate kindness. Even if you disagree with your parents, you have to accompany them with the kindness. And follow the way of those who turn back to me in repentance. Then to me will be your return, and I will inform you about what you used to do. And Luqman said, O my son, indeed, if it that is wrong should be the weight of the mustard seed and should be within the rock or anywhere in the heavens or in the earth, Allah will bring it forth. Indeed, Allah is subtle and aware. Luqman alayhi salam is teaching them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching everything. Today, this fear is not in our kids. That's why they have these devices and they may watch anything. And you know what? This community, this culture that we live in, they actually promote that. They are the one who is providing this hidden browser to our kids and erasable history. So we need to really equip them with that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything you do in the size of the mustard seed. Bring the mustard seed in their hand. Give it to them. Do the practical with them. They like it. So that's how they're going to know that Allah is watching them. And, oh my son, establish prayer. After developing the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the parents, after telling them Allah is watching you everywhere, then salah comes. These are the sequences that you need to write down. Establish prayer. Enjoin what is right. Forbid what is wrong. And be patient over what befalls you. Indeed, all this is the matters requiring resolve. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing all the time, following this sequence? And do not turn your back. Do not turn your cheek in contempt towards people, meaning don't turn your face away in arrogance, and do not walk through the earth exultantly, meaning your walking style should be very soft and humble too. Indeed, Allah does not like everyone self-deluded and boastful, and be moderate in your pace and lower your voice. Such beautiful character he's building. Such beautiful habits he's developing in his kids. And be moderate in your pace, meaning not too fast, not too slow, not too lazy, not too quick. Just moderate, balance in life, and lower your voice. No raising voice. If you raise voice in front of them, do you think they're going to get your information, get your advice? No. So keep your tone of voice low too. And the most disagreeable of sounds is the voice of a donkey's. And do you not see that Allah is made subject to whatever is in the heavens and the earth? So in this paragraph, what did we learn so far? Golden rules of successful parenting. Luqman was given hikmah because of these four traits he had. Somebody asked him, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed you this hikmah? He said, four traits he had. Number one, leave useless talk. Number two, stay quiet. If there's nothing important and special to say, stay quiet. It's better for you. And the number three thing is speak truth and only but truth. And number four thing is take care of the trust, amana, importance of amana. Do you see here? If you develop all these four traits, Allah will bestow hikmah to you. And the sequence of tarbiyah and walk humbly, keep the tone of voice low, make dua for hikmah, be grateful, love and serve parents. Ayah number 20 to 30, we learn Allah is provider. Do you not see that Allah has made subject to you whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth, and amply bestowed upon you his favors, both apparent and unapparent? But of the people is he who disputes about Allah without knowledge or guidance or an enlightening book. And when it is said to them, follow what Allah has revealed, they say, rather, we will follow that upon which we found our fathers, even if Shaitan was inviting them to the punishment of the blaze. And whoever submits his faith, another ayah about that, whoever submits his faith, وَمَا يُسْلِمْ بَجْهَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ. Notice here, Muhsin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves Muhsineen. And whoever submits his face, that is self, to Allah, why is he a doer of the good, then he has grasped the most trustworthy handhold. Bil urwat al-wusqa. And to Allah will be the outcome of all matters. Do you remember this word? Did you learn it before, urwat al-wusqa? It came in right after the ayah, after ayat al-kursi. Strong handhold of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever has disbelieved, let not his disbelief grieve you. To us is their return, and we will inform them of what they did. Indeed, Allah is knowing of that within the breast. We grant them enjoyment a little, then we will force them a massive punishment. And if you ask them, who created the heavens and the earth, they will surely say, Allah. Say, Allah, praise, all praise is due to Allah. But most of them do not know. To Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and the earth. And indeed, Allah is free of need, the praiseworthy. And if Allah, whatever trees upon the earth were pens and the sea was ink, replenished thereafter by seven more seeds, the words of Allah would not be exhausted. Indeed, Allah is exalted and might and wise. Think of all the trees that you see outside your window. If they are all pens, can you imagine? This is what Allah is, and people don't really feel what Allah SWT fully is. Your creation and your resurrection will not be but as that of a single soul. Indeed, Allah is hearing and seeing. Do you not see? Do you not see that is know that Allah causes the night to enter the day and causes the day to enter the night and has subjected the sun and the moon, each running its course for a specified term, and that Allah of whatever you do is aware? That is because Allah is a true reality, and that what they call upon other than Him is falsehood, and because of Allah is the Most High, the Grand. What do we learn here? Seek the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Trees are the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Plant some more. Allah's word can never be written. Allah's power is beyond our imagination, and Allah knows unseen. In the next paragraph, ayah number 31 to 34, we learn hardship makes us remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alam tara anna al-fulka tajri fil bahri بِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ لَيُرِيكُمْ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ. Do you not see that ship sails through the sea by the favor of Allah, that He may show you of His signs? Indeed, in that are signs for everyone patient and grateful. And when waves come over them like canopies, they supplicate Allah, sincere to Him in religion that is faith. But when He delivers, delivers them to the land, then some of them are moderate in faith. And none rejects our signs except everyone treacherous and ungrateful. O mankind, fear your Lord and fear a day when no father will avail his son and nor will a son avail his father at all. Indeed, the promise of Allah is truth, so let not the worldly life delude you, and be not deceived about Allah by the deceiver. Indeed, Allah alone has the knowledge of the hour. Sends down the rain and knows what is in the wombs, and no soul perceives what it will earn tomorrow, and no soul perceives it what land it will die. Indeed, Allah is knowing and aware. Let's listen to the recitation of Surah Sajda, verse 3.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam. تنزيل الكتاب لا ريب فيه من رب العالمين أم يقولون افتراه بل هو الحق من ربك لتنذر قوما ما أتاهم من نذير من قبلك لعلهم يهتدون الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وما بينهما في ستة أيام ثم استوى على العرش ما لكم من دونه من ولي ولا شفيع أفلا تتذكرون
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سورة السجدة. سورة السجدة is a surah that Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to recite before going to bed. Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه reported that Allah's messenger took hold of my hand and said, Allah the exalted and glorious created the clay on the Saturday, and He created the mountains on Sunday, and He created the trees on Monday, and He created the things entailing labor on Tuesday, and He created light on Wednesday, and He caused the animals to spread on Thursday, and created Adam alayhi salam. peace be upon him, after Asr, on Friday, the last creation at the last hour of the hour of Friday, that is between afternoon and night. This hadith is narrated through another chain also. And this is in Sahih Muslim 2789. What do we learn here? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this world with a systematic system. And in Surah Al-Sajda, we learn that this surah is supposed to be reminded of us meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single night. If you remember that this book is from Allah and all the lessons we learn, then we will remember the Creator and then we will prepare ourselves for the Day of Judgment. Alif Lam Mim. This is the revelation of the book about which there is no doubt from the lords of the world. Or do they say he invented he invented it? Rather, it is the truth from your Lord, O Prophet, that you may warn a people to whom no warner has come before you. So perhaps they will be guided. It is Allah who created the heavens and the earth and whatever is in between them in 6 days. Then he established himself above the throne. You have not besides him any protector or any intercessor. So will you not be reminded? He arranges each matter from the heavens to the earth, then it will ascend to him in a day, the extent of which is 1,000 years of those which you count. That is the knower of the unseen and the witness, the exalted is the might and merciful, who perfected everything which he created and began the creation of man from clay. Then he made his posterity out of the extract of a liquid disdain. Notice the word. Every night before going to sleep, if we remember what are we created of, then all the arrogance that may accumulate throughout the day, it will be gone. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to memorize this surah. Then he proportioned him and breathed into him from his created soul and made for him hearing and vision and hearts, that is intellect. Little you are grateful. How many times actually we think that these faculties are given to us and they are favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And they're there for us to be grateful for? And they say, when we are lost, that is disintegrated within the earth, will we indeed be recreated in a new creation? Rather, they are in the meeting with their Lord, disbelievers. Say, the angels of death who has been entrusted with you will take you, then to your Lord you will be returned. What do we learn? Every night when we sleep, if we are reminded that the death angel of death is coming and is going to come to us, do you think that we will humble ourselves before Allah? Sure. So what do we learn in this paragraph? Doubt-free Qur'an. There is no doubt in this Qur'an. An angel of death will come. He's already appointed for this job. He's already assigned to do this job for you and I. And invite others to Qur'an. Recite this surah before sleep. And then number 12 to 22, two opposite groups. And we can all understand which group do we want to be. Ayah number 12, if you could not but see when the criminals are hanging their heads before their lords, try to imagine when criminals are hanging their heads before their Lord, saying, our Lord, we have seen and heard, so return us to the world. We will work righteousness. Indeed, we are now certain. By then, it's going to be too late. There is no turning back. For you and I, time is now. And if we had willed, we could have given every soul its guidance. But the word from me will come into effect. I will surely fill hell with jinn and people all together. So, taste the punishment because you forgot the meeting of this. Question. People will say this there, right? And if we are here, are we remembering the meeting of this day? Alhamdulillah. Your day, indeed, we have accordingly forgotten you. When people forget the meeting day in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgets them in akhirah. And taste the punishment of eternity for what you used to do. Only those believe in our verses who, when they are remained, by them fall down in prostration. Who will fall down in prostration? The one who believe in the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and exalt Allah with praise of their Lord, and they are not arrogant. Their sides are, this is the ayah of the theme ayah, ayah number 16, تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Their sides part, meaning they don't stay in bed all night long because they don't feel comfortable lying down. They want to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the middle of the night in the tahajjud time. They have the desire to get up and they supplicate their Lord in fear and aspiration. They have a perfect balance of hope and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from what we have provided them, they spend, meaning they're not stingy. They're always looking for opportunities to spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning spending right at the tahajjud time prayer. You know why? Because it has a great impact. When a people's heart are attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their hearts open up. And no soul knows what has been hidden for them of comfort of for eyes. That is satisfaction as reward for what they used to do. Every time when you and I find hard to get up for the tahajjud, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you have something hidden so beautiful that no eyes can imagine, no mind can fathom, no heart can plan for it and think about it, how beautiful it's going to be. This is one who was a believer like one who was defiantly disobedient, and now the second group. They are not equal. As for those who believe and did righteous deeds, for them will be the gardens of the refuge as accommodations for what they used to do. But as for those who defiantly disobey, their refuge is the fire. Every time they wish to emerge from it, they will be returned to it. They will not be able to come out from it. And they will be returned to it while it is said to them, taste the punishment of the fire which you used to deny. Doesn't it seem like that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really telling us step by step what you're going to face in the hereafter? And we will surely let them taste the nearer punishment, short of the greater punishment, that perhaps they will return, meaning they repent. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicts hardship here, because it's easier for people to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are saved from a harder punishment. So consider your hardships of this dunya a blessing, because they will save you from the harder punishment. And who is more unjust than one who is reminded of the verses of his Lord, then he turns away from them. May Allah save us from turning away from these verses, beautiful verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, we from the criminals will take retribution. And we certainly gave Musa the scripture, so do not be in doubt over his meeting. And we made it, that is Torah, guidance for the children of Israel. And we made from among them leaders, guiding by our command when they were patient and when they were certain of our signs. Meaning, patient ones and those who are certain about signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides them. Indeed, your Lord will judge between them on the day of resurrection concerning that over which they used to differ. Has it not become clear to them how many generations we destroyed before them as they walk among their dwellings? Indeed, in that are signs, then do they not hear? Have they not seen that we drive waters and cloud to barren land and bring forth thereby crops from which their livestock eat and they themselves? Then do they not see? And they say, when will be this conquest, if you should be truthful? Say, O Prophet, on the day of conquest, the belief of those who had disbelief will not benefit them, nor will they be reprieved. So what should we do? So turn away from them and wait. Indeed, they are waiting. So inshallah, in this paragraph, we learn that their hearts desire to stay up at night or for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have perfect balance of fear and hope, and also Allah's mercies upon those who do righteous deeds. And narrated the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah said, I have prepared for my righteous servant such excellent things as no eye has ever seen, nor an ear has ever heard, nor a human heart can ever think of. This is in Sahih Bukhari 7498. And the 20-30 we learn, O hearts, wake up. Time is now. If you don't wake up, what's going to happen later? Let's make the Ayatul Asma'at Allah to understand that truly wake up our hearts. And the lesson we learn from this is, life is a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Use it wisely. Every moment that is passing by is making us closer to our death time. And we need sabr to live through this life. And we need sabr to do things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. And learn lessons from previous nation stories. And contemplate. Think deeply. As you know, it seems like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you and I to become a thinker. The more we think, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow His favors upon us. Let's listen to the recitation of the next surah, which is Surah Al-Ahzab.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ya ayyuhan nabiy, uttaqi Allah wa la tuti'i al-kafirin wal-munafiqin. إن الله كان عليما حكيما واتبع ما يوحى إليك من ربك إن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا وتوكل على الله وكفى بالله وكيلا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. In this surah, Surah Ahzab, the Ahzab is a trench. There was a battle of trench that took place, and it was a very unique battle. In that battle, Muslims dug this trench where disbelievers on the other side, and they were waiting for them to attack. But with this trench, because of this trench, they were not able to pass it. And this was a very hard time to dig this huge trench, so the disbelievers cannot come on this side. There's a lot of details in this surah, and we will not complete the surah today because this will continue in the next just two. Let's see what's in it today in our today's section. Ayah number 1-8, we learn that Islam will prevail. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu ittaqillaha wa la tuti'il kafirin wal munafiqin innallaha kana 'aliman hakima. O Prophet, fear Allah and do not obey the disbelievers and the hypocrites. Indeed, Allah is ever knowing and wise, and follow that which is revealed to you from your Lord. Indeed, Allah is ever of what you do aware. And rely upon Allah. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. Highlight this line. Do we rely upon Allah for everything? Even if you want to get up for tahajjud and you can't, you know what you should do? You should say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have an intention. You make me get up. This is tawakkul on Allah. And when you say, I am worried about my risk, you say, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am doing my work. You are the one who is going to provide me. This is tawakkul on Allah. Inshallah. Allah has not made for a man two hearts in his interior. And He has not made your wives, whom you declare unlawful, your mothers. And He has sinned. He has not made your claim, that is adopted sons, your true sons, that is merely your saying by your mouth. But Allah says the truth and He guides to the right way. This ayah is about adopted sons. In Islam, adoption, when somebody does adoption, they have to give the name of the child to a father's name, because adopted child is still a non-mahram. It still cannot be have the rights of real siblings and real brothers and sisters. So when people adopt and they hide the identity and they say, I will give this child my name, no, you cannot do that. You have to let the child know his true lineage and give him the name. And if you don't know the name, then you have to let them know that we don't know the name. But you still cannot say that it's you can take your name. Why do you think this is? To protect the lineage. It is so important in Islam. Call them by the names of their fathers. It is more just in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you do not know their fathers, then they are still your brothers in religion, and those entrusted to you. and there is no blame upon you for that in which you have erred, but only for what your heart intended, and ever is Allah forgiving and merciful. The Prophet is more worthy of the believers than themselves, and his wives are in the position of their mothers. Here we learn the importance and the place of the mothers of the believers in our heart. The wives of the Prophets are mothers of the believers. Even though they were young, Aisha radhiyallahu anha was very young, and still she is a mother of the believer. And they were not supposed to be remarrying after the death of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We supposed to respect them. We supposed to learn from them, and they are our role models. So, the Prophet is more worthy of the believers than themselves, and his wives are in the position of their mothers, and those of blood relationships are more entitled to inheritance in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the other believers and the immigrants, except that you may do your close associate a kindness through bequest. That was in the book inscribed, meaning inheritance is for blood relatives only, but yes, you can give them gifts, right? And mention, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we took from the Prophet their covenant from you and from Nuh alayhi salam and Ibrahim alayhi salam and Musa and Isa alayhi salam, the son of Mary, and we took from them a solemn covenant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took covenant from the Prophets too, that he may question the truthful about their truth, and he has prepared for the disbelievers painful punishment. O you who have believed, remember the favor of Allah upon you when armies came to attack you, and we sent upon them a wind and armies of angels. You did not see, and ever is Allah of what you do seeing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps the believers. And what did we learn in this first ayah from 1 to 8? We learned that love Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than self. Because we learned in many different places of Quran that the love of Allah and the love of Prophet should be more than love of your own family. Why? Because Allah said so. And how can we increase the love of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? By learning his seerah, by obeying his hadith, by obeying and copying his lifestyle. This will surely increase the love of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying sallallahu alaihi wasallam every time we hear his name. And we should be breaking wrong traditions if we have any, because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told that this was basically preparing the ground for him to marry someone, and this we will discuss inshallah. And leave your matters in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And adopted kids should be given real father's name. And Allah is enough for you and I. And from ayah number 9 to 20, we learn about sick hearts. Who have sick hearts? The munafiqeen, the hypocrites. And what are some of the traits they have? Let's learn. Insha'Allah. And remember, when they came at you from above you and from below you, and when your eyes shifted in fear and hearts reached the throats, and you assumed about Allah various assumptions, there are the believers were tested and shaken with a severe shaking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests the believers with sometimes very harsh shaking. Why? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can let the people know who is the true believer and who is munafiq. Because munafiqeen, the hypocrites, cannot take the shaking. They give up and they change their route. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests the believers. And remember, when the hypocrites and those in whose heart is diseased, said Allah and His Messenger did not promise us except delusion. When the believers are hit with the calamity, they say Alhamdulillah. When hypocrites hit with the calamity, they blame. And look what they're blaming. They're saying that Prophet ﷺ didn't even bring any goodness to them, and it was only delusion. May Allah save us from this hypocrisy in our hearts. And when a faction of them said, O people of Yathrib, there is no stability for you here, so return home. And a party of them asked permission of the Prophet, saying, indeed, our houses are exposed, that is, unprotected, while they were not exposed, and they did not intend except to flee. What do we learn? That when hypocrisy is in the heart, people make excuses. People come up with all kinds of ideas to get away from the fighting. And this is exactly what tells Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you and I, that the hypocrisy makes you term, hypocrisy makes you think of this dunya only. And then when the hypocrisy is in the heart, people forget about akhirah, people forget about all the reward that Allah SWT has been promising, and they only see what is near. In other words, they are short-sighted. They are near-sighted. They cannot see far and beyond. If the battle is tough, but the reward is much more better for them. So, and if they had been entered upon from all its surrounding regions and fitna, that is disbelief, had been demanded of them, they would have done it and not hesitate over it except briefly. And they had already promised Allah but before not to turn their backs, that is retreat, and ever is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that about which one will be questioned. Say, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, never will fleeing benefit you if you should flee from death or killing. Meaning, the fleeing away from the battlefield is only harming. It's not going to save you in anything. And then if you did, you would not be given enjoyment of life except for a little. Meaning, people who run away from the battlefield, they may live for a few more years, but what's going to happen at the end of the day? They're going to die and they're going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anyway. They might as well not run away and really spend the life in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, who is that can protect you from Allah if He intends for you an ill or intends for you a mercy? And they will not find for themselves besides Allah any protector or any helper. Meaning, nobody can harm you. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to harm you, nobody can protect you. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to save you, nothing is going to happen. Already, Allah knows the hinderers among you and those hypocrites who say to their brothers, come to us and do not go to battle except for a few. Hypocrites, not just they stop themselves, but they stop others from the way too. Have you ever heard sentences like, don't go there, why are you being too much, and stuff like that. This is the hypocrisy of the heart. So may Allah save us from all this, because hypocrites wants others not to go too. And indisposed towards you, and when fear comes, you see them looking at you, their eyes revolving like one being overcome by death. Meaning, there is an extreme amount of fear in the hearts of hypocrites. But when fear departs, they lash you with sharp tongues, indisposed towards any good. Those have not believed. So Allah has rendered their deeds worthless. And ever is that for Allah easy. They think the companies have not yet withdrawn, and if the companies should come again, they would wish they were in the desert. In the desert among the Bedouins, inquiring about your news, and if they should be among you, they would not fight except for a little. What did we learn in this paragraph? Trials comes to differentiate between believers and munafiq. Allah will ask about commitments that you and I make. Allah only can help us and nobody can help. Nobody else can help us. And do not stop others from coming the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hypocrites' hearts are in fearful state. And they talk much, do less. And make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be saved from hypocrisy. Ayah number 21 to 27, we learn Uswatun Hasana, meaning the beautiful characters of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ayah number 21, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. They have certainly been for you in the Messenger of Allah an excellent pattern. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to follow his pattern so we can be having the Uswatun Hasana like him. For anyone whose hope is in Allah and the last day, and who remembers Allah often. And when the believers saw the companies, they said, this is what Allah and his messenger had promised us, and Allah and his messenger spoke the truth. Question, do we believe so? Alhamdulillah. And it has increased them only in faith and acceptance. And among the believers are men true to what they promised Allah. Among them is he who has fulfilled his vows to the death. And among them is he who awaits his chance, and they did not alter the terms of their commitment by any alteration. That is Allah may reward that Allah may reward the untruthful. That Allah may reward the truthful for their truth and punish the hypocrites if He wills or accept their repentance. Indeed, Allah is ever forgiving and merciful, and Allah repels those who disbelieved in their rage, not having obtained any good, and sufficient was Allah for the believers in battle, and ever is Allah powerful and exalted in might. And He brought down those who supported them among the people of the scriptures from their fortresses and cast terror into their hearts, so that a party that is their men you killed, and you took captivity a party that the women and children. And He caused you to inherit their land and their homes and their properties and the land which you have not trodden, and ever is Allah over all things competent. What do we learn in this lesson, in this section? We learn that try hard to develop Hasan character, meaning Uswatul Hasana, be like in the, follow the pattern of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life. Imagine if we develop some of, at least some of the qualities, like being lenient, like being soft, like being active, like being there in the forefront, like feeling for others, like really carrying on the mission, like or doing all the sunnah ways. Imagine if we do that. And be obedient wife, because this for a few ayahs were about the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they were not giving all the comfort. When the money came from this battle and the war booty, everybody else was really rejoicing and enjoying the life, and nothing was given to the wives of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because these were the wives. The higher the standard, the higher the suffering and higher the hardship comes. So these wives were not giving anything from those battle gains, and they asked for it. So Allah SWT says, Rasulullah was told to say, if you want this dunya, then you can stick to this dunya. But if you want the company of Rasulullah, then this is it. This is how you're going to be. So the believers are to be sacrificed. Believers are to be sacrificed in this world. And this is what we learn. And they were the obedient wife of Rasulullah. They chose the company of Rasulullah instead of the luxuries of this world. And sabr is required to be rightful in this dunya. And Allah's promises are true. Allah takes care of all of our matters. And narrated Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, Allah's apostle used to say, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone, who honored his warriors and made his slaves victorious, and he alone defeated the infidel clans, so there is nothing after him. This is in Bukhari 4114. And alhamdulillah, I think this is it for this juz for today. And that dua in the next slide that you see, it is the dua that we did in the morning. Let's say the dua one more time. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. And then you should say رب اغفر لي, and any other dua after that you want to, but the most important dua is forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you ask that, and then you can say your dua list, whatever you have, inshallah, because last 10 nights are starting soon, so we should be memorizing this now, so we can really make the most out of these 10 nights. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who get up in the middle of a night for his sake, so your intention should be right, inshallah, and this will give us a lot of strength to really carry on the spirit of Ramadan after the month of Ramadan. And in the next slide, you see the message, take home message. What is it? How real Qiyamah is in my mind. This is what you and I need to ask this question. I know we've been learning about Qiyamah, especially today's juz was preparing us. I feel like as if Allah SWT is saying, say goodbye to this world. because now something else is waiting for you. This dunya is nothing. And think about it. All the things that we've been doing in this dunya, do it for akhirah. Meaning, you're supposed to raise kids beautifully. We learned that today. You're supposed to serve Allah beautifully, what we learned today. You're supposed to have the qiyamah as a mindset. We learned that today. Why? All these are preparation to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many ayahs today came about facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is developing a personality who is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. If you remember, our theme is oneness of Allah and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the oneness of Allah demands this from us, that we believe in Akhirah. And the love of Allah demands from us that we are there for Him and do everything according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And this is how we're going to be successful. Al-Muflihun. Insha'Allah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera wa asnida. Such a faiza. Subhanallah, every day we cover the new juz. It feels like that this has given us the best advice. But every day, a pleasant surprise is waiting for us. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. How can we ever thankful? Subhanallah. How can we even fathom the thought to doubt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for His slaves? He subhanahu wa ta'ala has done every possible effort in warning us to stay away from the sins, from transgressing and from going astray, and have given every single possibility to forgive us, to raise our statuses, to grant us maghfirah, to grant us jannah by showcasing the rewards of doing good. It seems like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us to be that beautiful garden, full of colorful hedges, shrubs, flowers of different colors, fruit trees, all beautifully trimmed and taken care of with lush green grass as a canvas. Subhanallah. But my dear sisters, it will only happen if we adopt the attitude of Sami'na wa Ata'na. We'll leave the heedless behavior and we'll become Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's most obedient slaves, inshallah wa ta'ala. We will refrain from questioning His commandments, and we'll put out ultimate tawakkul upon Him, inshallah wa ta'ala. We'll concentrate, we'll focus on pleasing our Rabb, to be eternally blessed. We'll adopt sabr and thankfulness, and we'll establish salah, inshallah wa ta'ala. It is a long list of the deeds we should be doing. Let's make a promise to ourselves to be a steadfast on this journey of learning the beautiful book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even after Ramadan, to establish an internal connection with our Lord and loving Him dearly, inshallah wa ta'ala. Ameen, summa ameen. Now let's share some points you will take with you from this juz, inshallah wa ta'ala. And let's make it a huge sadqa jariya for yourself and for your parents, inshallah wa ta'ala. The importance of sunnah du'as, alhamdulillah, and the name of the Quran is zikrah, means reminder. And you've seen every juz reminding us of the same topic, but in different sense, you know. So it's a zikrah, nasihat. So maybe, like the other day I said, like just to our kids, when we say the same point so many times in different tone, so this is what it is. Come to parenting and the tarbiyah of our children, try to bring the characters of Luqman ourselves. Very important point, alhamdulillah. Raising kids like Luqman, life is a gift. Use it wisely. Do sabr. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Make Allah come to life. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. The importance of making a salah better. Indeed it is. Indeed it is. Because this is the major worship we do every single day. And if we do not master it, then we have consequences to pay. And inshallah wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us. And you know what, when you will join in-depth course, salah is also part of that curriculum to improve our salah. So it'll have a double delight, inshallah wa ta'ala. Find fun in the Quran instead of looking for it, entertainment elsewhere. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Recite Surah Sajda before going to bed, alhamdulillah, and Surah Al-Mulk. We will come and we will see in Juz 29th, inshallah. Great qualities in us. Quality of husna, hope spell right. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, that's fine. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. See, so much good come out of it. And if somebody has missed a point and then they have seen your answer, and subhanAllah, they can adopt that to love and serve parents. Indeed, indeed. So very important. And you know what the irony is? We do not realize it till we are parents ourselves. And I always wished and hoped that I would have realized it when I was not a parent before. But then again, subhanAllah, you always learn late. Quran is doubt-free. Make dua to save from hypocrisy. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Indeed, it is so very important to, just refrain from the qualities of a hypocrite. Gain knowledge through Quran and Sunnah. Exactly. The basic, the roots. You learn the authentic knowledge. Only then we can survive. Interest is unforgivable. Indeed, it is. Alhamdulillah, Suma Alhamdulillah. So many points, it's the juice was full of advices. Have to develop Hasan character. Yes, real truth is that angel of death will come with the appointed time. And the irony is we do not know. And it can be any second. Alhamdulillah. The realization of it will help us to prepare for that time. And then there will be no certain time. I mean, it's like, there will be no surprise, inshallah wa ta'ala, because we will be doing what we should be doing. So it can be any time. You have seen so many people dying in their salah, because salah was so very important for them, and they just passed away during their salah. When we went for Hajj, a guy, he passed during Tawaful Wida. Can you imagine? He finished all the Hajj, every single ritual, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him with that. Subhanallah. And how, what beautiful death it can be. Everybody can hope for that death. Leave your matters in the hands of Allah, love Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anyone else. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all the beneficial knowledge, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you absorb all the knowledge and work on it and adapt every single point you raise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us, inshallah wa ta'ala. Let's do dua and let's conclude our session, because it's been a long time. You guys have been sitting, inshallah wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, please grant us maghfirah as the descent countdown has started. We do not want to be the ones who will be destroyed because they didn't receive maghfirah in this blessed month. Ya Allah, help us keep the ties of kinship so we uphold your commandment. Ya Allah, help us to make the best of rest of Ramadan. Ya Allah, make us a true believer. Ya Allah, please remove and make us free of if there is any traces of hypocrisy in it, in us. Ya Allah, make us a source of tranquility of our spouses. Ya Allah, guide us to be model parents for our children. Ya Allah, choose us to establish our deen. Ya Allah, save us from any and every trial we might face in your path, and make it easy for us to fulfill our commitment. Ya Allah, grant us hikmah to help us to understand our skills so we have what we have, so we can use this to gain blessings in your path, to show our gratitude. Ya Allah, please do not waste us and make us a productive member of Muslim Ummah. Ameen, Summa Ameen. If life and health permitted, we will meet again tomorrow, inshallah wa ta'ala, with Juz 22nd. Stay safe, take good care of yourself, and keep us in your du'as too. Ameen, Summa Ameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا وتب علينا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على رسول خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا بحسن الجزاء. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you immensely for all the time you have being with the Book of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Amin, summa amin.
اللهم لك الحمد أنت نور السماوات والأرض
اللهم لك الحمد أنت نور السماوات والأرض
ولك الحمد أنت قيوم السماوات والأرض
ولك الحمد أنت قيوم السماوات والأرض